Acts chapter 10, as we finish up this chapter, maybe get into chapter 11. We got down to the part where they're going to receive the Holy Spirit, the Gentiles, Cornelius and his household. Peter was sent by God to meet this Gentile who was unsaved but had a real longing for God and a real heart for God. And he followed the light that he had. And what we're going to find about the receiving of the Holy Spirit here, number one, they received the Spirit as soon as they believed. There's some that teach that you need to have tarrying meetings and you wait and you pray and eventually you'll receive what they call the second blessing. But the Spirit of God is received in his entirety at the moment of salvation. We are immediately, as soon as we believe, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. We are filled with the Spirit at that moment, which means controlled by the Spirit. That can change because if we get in the flesh after we're saved, of course, we're not filled. We're not controlled by the Spirit anymore. Still indwelt. And we are also baptized by the Spirit at the moment of salvation. And we are immersed into the body of Christ because, remember, Spirit baptism as well as water baptism, the key word in that is identification. We are identified with Christ. When we are baptized, we are identified with Christ in his death and burial. When we go down under the water, when we come back up, we identify with Christ in his resurrection, and we are not ashamed to publicly declare that. Spirit baptism, we are immersed by the Spirit into the body of Christ, and we are forever positionally in Christ. That can never change. We can't lose our salvation, so therefore we do not lose our position in Christ. Also, they received the Spirit of God, as we'll see as we read through this, before they were baptized in water. Some make water baptism an essential part of salvation. Church of Christ teaches this. Yes, you repent and believe in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, but you must also be baptized or you cannot be saved. They make it a part of salvation. If it were a part of salvation, would these folks we're about to read about, would they have received the Spirit of God before they were water baptized? If they weren't saved, they wouldn't have got the Spirit, would they? So we know that this is another text that disproves that teaching. They also received the Spirit of God without the laying on of hands. There's no special imparting of the Spirit through the laying on of hands. And then the filling of the Spirit was manifested by speaking in tongues to show that the same Spirit of God that the Jews had received at Pentecost in Acts 2, Samaritans had received in Acts chapter 8, now here in Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles received the same Holy Spirit. So there was a distinct purpose in the speaking in tongues. Okay, it wasn't just some kind of everybody trying to receive a special gift. It was something you couldn't stop. They received Christ and they were speaking in tongues, showing that they had receive the same, believe the same message, receive the same power, same salvation. Everybody, all barriers broke down. The middle wall of partition, as Paul described to the Ephesians, was broken down. All, male, female, black, white, whatever, anybody that comes to saving faith in Christ, all are equal, all are equally saved, all are equally a part of the body of Jesus Christ. There are no preferences or prejudices to be found in the church, ever. Now, if someone wants to join the church and they have a lifestyle of sin that's contrary to the Word of God, they can't join a church, but they never would be turned away unless, of course, they were disruptive in the service or whatever. But everyone, I've been asked, Pastor, what would you do if a known homosexual walked through the doors of the church? I would welcome him or her. So come on in, sit down, hear the word. But if they came forward and said, oh, we'd like to join, or I'd like to join the church, and we had a conversation and found out they were still actively in that lifestyle, we could not allow it. Why? Because they're in clear violation, living in open sin, violation of the word of God. But they would, we would never turn anybody away, unless, like I say, they came in and disrupted the service, or came in, you know, obviously immorally dressed or something, you know what I mean? So there are exceptions, but you get the point. We're not here to turn people away. All right, so let's go ahead and look at the passage. I think we got, let me get in the right chapter. I think we got through verse number 33. So let's go ahead and have somebody read 34. How about 34 through 40, and then 41 through 48. So volunteer to do 34 through 40. Somebody? Okay, Kathy. And then 41 through 48. Another volunteer? 41 through 48. All right, Gary, go ahead.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "The truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly.
Not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witnesses, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days.
All right, thank you, too. Remember in John chapter 10, as well as other places, Jesus said in the 16th verse, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. And he was talking about Gentiles. Remember, he said salvation first would come to the Jews. But then, of course, eventually it was to spread to the whole world, because he commanded that the gospel be preached to every creature. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, and whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So it's clear the gospel is intended for everyone. So Peter opened his mouth in verse number 34. He preached with authority. The idea is, if you look at the original language, I don't have the word in front of me, but it basically means to open your mouth, speak with a loud voice. So he was preaching. He was preaching. And he said, of a truth I perceive, God is no respecter of persons. And if you check out the Old Testament as well as the New, this is not a new concept to the New Testament. God really has never been a respecter of persons. If the Jews got out of line and disobeyed him, were they punished? Absolutely they were. So even though they were God's chosen people, he didn't just say, hey, go ahead and do whatever you want, you're my people. They paid the price. God has never been a respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him, and that would point to salvation. He's talking about people that are truly born into his family. Salvation. He that feareth him, and then as a result of being saved, works righteousness or lives a life that is in line with what is said to be believed. And these are the ones that are accepted with him. So anybody, any nation, anybody that's truly born again. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Or he certainly can be, when one comes to faith in him, be recognized as Lord. And keep that in mind. Many still teach that Jesus is Savior only until the person that is saved decides somewhere along the line to make Jesus Lord. Somebody tell me what's wrong with that.
Can't make him anything.
Right. Do we have the power to make Jesus anything? When we get saved, we receive Christ as Savior. Is he Lord? Now, we may not recognize everything that means. When I first got saved, I didn't know the full extent of what being saved meant. Did you? I knew how to be saved, the basic gospel, and I received Christ repenting of sin. But I know in my heart I was willing at that very moment that what Jesus wanted, I was willing to do. Where he wanted me to go, I was willing to go. I didn't understand anything. I had very little basic Bible knowledge. But I was willing to accept his lordship immediately. And basically, that's what the Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and literally it is Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it's part of the original belief, is believing in Jesus as Lord. And then preaching peace by Jesus Christ. We know Paul taught the Colossian church and also Ephesians, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. But he talked about making peace through the blood of the cross. In other words, the only way to be reconciled to a holy God, according to Colossians 1:20-21, the only way to be reconciled to a holy God is through faith in the blood. Paul told the Romans in Romans 5, talked about faith in the blood. So again, unto him that loved us, Revelation 1:5, last part of the verse, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Over and over and over again, we are taught that if we are not washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved. It's impossible. And there's no way that wall, because of sin, we are separated from God. We are born with a sin nature. We are born with a dead spirit, human spirit. We have a body, soul, spirit is dormant. We receive Christ as Savior, repenting of sin, and our spirit now has fellowship with the Spirit of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. The Bible says that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16. So, in order to make peace with God, we've got to do it through the blood of the cross. We don't go through the blood of Jesus, we haven't made peace with God. Now the world cries, peace and safety, peace, 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 peace. Without Jesus, is there peace? There is no peace. And then after we make peace with God through the blood of the cross, the Bible says we can then live daily in the realm of God's peace. You know, the peace that Paul taught the Philippians about, the peace that surpasses human understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That settledness, that security, that that joy that goes along with it, knowing even in the midst of the coronavirus that we have a God that loves us, a Savior who loved us enough to die for us, and He is in control of the whole situation. We do what we can because God has given us wisdom, right? If we lack it, we can ask Him as children of God. We'll get more of it if we need it. And we all need some, don't we? But to panic and to overreact doesn't help anybody. Does it? But we can rest in the arms of Jesus. And if we catch it, and we've done everything humanly possible to keep from getting it, do we reject Christ because He let us get sick? Anybody have the flu this year? Anybody get the flu? I know some people got the flu. I mean, the flu. And they were very sick. And I know there's thousands around the world, thousands in our nation that died from the flu. So it could happen. It could happen. But I don't think anybody young, has anybody young died from this flu? I mean, from this coronavirus?
Yes.
There has been young people, but not many in comparison to older, right? And this mainly hitting those with compromised immune systems, maybe young that have health issues, but generally a healthy young person, if they get it, it's a mild, very mild form of it. But anyway, God will do and allow what God will do and allow, right? And there, no doubt, is a lesson in this. How easily the economy that's humming along, jobs created by the thousands, you know, things ticking, wages increasing, stock market skyrocketing, how fickle and how easily something like this can totally turn everything upside down. So God is saying, hey, down there, talking to the whole world. I'm in control. I'm the sovereign God of the universe. You do need me. You don't think you do, but you do. Right? Yes.
This is just a test of our faith.
Pardon?
It's to test our faith to see where we stand. If we're true.
Sure.
If we really believe.
Absolutely. And hopefully many will come to Christ through this. Right? Okay. Moving on in verse number 37, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee. And his ministry began there, the Lord's, after the baptism which John preached, which pointed to Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And ultimately, Christ was the one to be believed, and salvation came through him. How God anointed or chose Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with power. He went about doing good. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Speaking of the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry and how he continued for 3.5 years. We are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all people. Remember, the only ones that saw the resurrected Jesus were believers. Just believers. But unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained or chosen of God to be the judge of both the living and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. So the only means of salvation is reiterated again. It's through Jesus' name, through his work upon the cross of Calvary. It's faith in Jesus alone. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith is the means to get to the grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Getting something we don't deserve. If we're going to get to the grace, we got to come by faith. Faith in Christ is death, burial, and resurrection. While Peter yet spake, so the words are still coming out of his mouth. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. These are Jewish Christians that came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues. That's the only way they would know that upon them fell the gift of the Holy Ghost. There would be some external means to show. That's why this happened. Pentecost, Acts 2, Samaria, it's implied. The tongues part is not specifically stated, but it's implied in Acts 8 because they received the Spirit like we did at Pentecost. Well, how would they know that if there weren't tongues? And then here in Acts chapter 10, or the Gentiles received the same Holy Spirit. Same thing happened. They magnified God. And then Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. He preached, and some believed. Many Gentiles believed, and they received the Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned before, the church is a place where anyone that believes can come. The rich seated next to the poor, black next to the white. Somebody that might have a big position somewhere in some corporation could sit next to someone that doesn't have a dime to his name and have perfect sweet fellowship. That's the church. Race and status vanish in Christ. Absolutely vanish. So remember, the Spirit of God came without public confession, without an interval in time after repentance and faith. It was immediate. There was no one praying for the Spirit to fall upon these people. They came upon the Gentiles as they listened with receptive hearts to Peter's message. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Just so you know, there was only one person in their 40s that died. There was two people in their 50s. Everybody else is 60, 70, and 80 years old.
Okay. So 40s is the youngest so far?
Yeah.
One person.
Yeah.
I thought it was either. Well, I appreciate that. So, again. Continue to be concerned and pray, but don't panic. Don't panic. All right. Rather than start another chapter, I'm going to go ahead and have Fred come, go over the prayer list, and you can go ahead and include this couple. I'll leave the book up here. Today is 15, right? All right. And we'll start a new chapter next time.